Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome and thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by Brad Hall & Associates and features Dan Gold, who's visiting us from Treadway Lumsdane & Doyle LLP, a law firm here in Irvine, California. I've had the privilege of knowing for quite a while. And Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, Dan, before we get into our topic, which we're going to talk about fixing the broken glass, also known as tips for business owners dealing with marital breakup, which is a huge issue, of course, anywhere in the country, but especially here in Orange County, it seems like. But before we get into that, could you share a little bit about your professional and personal background?
I'm a managing partner of the firm. I've been practicing law for over 20 years. I am certified by the State Bar of California as a family law specialist. I live in Orange County. Our firm has an office as well in Los Angeles County, a regional office in Long Beach, and an office here in Irvine as well.
Yeah, Treadway is growing quite a bit. I know it's kind of becoming the firm of choice for attorneys who are retiring their practices and rolling up, and they have their choices, and they're coming to Treadway quite a bit.
Yeah, our firm offers a lot of opportunities allowing practices to utilize each other's resources, particularly in family law when you have a lot of estate planning issues, a lot of other tax issues. We have a lot of specialization in that area.
Yeah, you cover the whole gamut from family law, of course, to business, litigation. You have some litigation in there. Estate planning and some excellent asset protection. You're kind of the law firm to go to if you want to have it all done under one roof.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question.
And very good people over there at Treadway. We're having a number of them on the show, and I've known some of the partners. And, Dan, I've known you for a long time. So tell us about this. Fixing the broken glass or tips for business owners dealing with a marital breakup. How important is it for a business owner to think through this and the ramifications of it?
Well, you know, the glass analogy, I kind of think of a car going down the road, a car you've had a long time, let's say a nice Mercedes, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the car in front of you has a rock or item come off it and break your windshield.
Right.
Okay? Obviously, it damages the vehicle. It also not only damages the vehicle, but it also... it's hard to see out of that windshield. It's hard to see ahead and be able to drive and be able to predict your future. And I think if you own a business you've invested in a long time, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, your spouse says, I'm not happy anymore. This relationship isn't working on the personal side. I want out. And you've kind of invested all your life in this business and what's going to happen to it. You're just concerned about losing it. You're concerned about people coming through there and looking at documents and disrupting the flow of what happens in your everyday life. And I think that's really the thing people come into my office with who are in this situation. They're facing probably the lowest point in their lives. And they need some sort of idea of what's going to happen in the future. There's a lot of chaos going on. There's a lot of uncertainty. And they just don't know if this is going to end someday. And part of the task of an advisor in my position is really to bring order to that chaos, to develop some degree of certainty, and to bring closure. Those are really the three areas that I try to focus on in my practice.
Is this a rising trend as the baby boomers' kids move out of the house, and as people now are faced with the fact that now we're a lot younger than our parents were at this age? Let's say you're in your 50s or early 60s maybe, but we've got a lot of life left, but we're not going to live in quiet desperation anymore.
There's a trend, Bill, you're absolutely right. There's a trend that's intersecting as a result of our demographic change called gray divorce. And you've been hearing a lot about it on TV, seeing it in radio, hearing it on radio, seeing it in magazines. People in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, had a client recently in his 80s. And they make decisions. They say, I've got a third chapter, if you will, a third act, and I want something different for this third act. And, you know, when you have a certain idea of where your retirement's going to be, you're sitting, you know, on the golf course, whatever, that can be a real radical change. And those particular type of marital dissolution cases bring certain challenges. Dividing significant assets, dividing a lot of pre-tax retirement funds, and also dealing with the whole health issue. I mean, if they're not older, if they're in that gap before Medicare, health insurance is a huge issue. If the non-owner spouse, the non-employee spouse doesn't have health insurance except for the spouse that does, it can be a real problem. It'd be something we have to deal with in making this matter, bringing some closure to this matter.
And also, you know, you mentioned the earlier the just the whole discovery process and what that means to a small business owner who may or may not be the best record keeper in the world, but now they've got to deal with really reconstructing a lot of things to prove a story to the other party.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, one of the homework things that I do give people is to go out and pull that together. It's really the client who has to help build the facts. It's the client that has to provide the information. And it also serves a therapeutic tool to the client because it helps them grasp an idea of what's going on. It helps them grasp, particularly now in the case where I represent the non-owner or non-employee spouse, it gives them an idea of what's going on, and everything's not such a mystery anymore. It's not such a crazy scenario. They can actually bring some degree of organization to it.
Well, I can really understand. I mean, it's one thing if somebody brings home a paycheck and then, or the both spouses bring home a paycheck, it's pretty easy to see where the money's coming from, where it's going. But in a business situation, a spouse who's not involved in the business might just be very suspicious and not understand all that goes into, well, how come there's no money in the business? Well, it's in inventory, it's in future business, it's in receivables, it's in things that aren't, it's not a paycheck.
Exactly. And that's the thing about valuing a business. And that's why forensics are absolutely a critical component to any business case. Even a case that may never see the light of day in a courtroom, you need those experts to come in and help sort of put meat on the bones, if you will, to help us understand what the dynamics are of that income-producing asset and to know what it is. Because valuing, obviously, not always obvious, that valuing something in this context is not the same as a third party might value that business, looking at it from the outside. Because in essence, the spouse that wants to maintain that business is basically buying that spouse's interest. So they have to. There's a different valuation component and all that.
Well, I've always said there's at least three business valuations out there. One of them would be what an outside buyer will pay. One of them says what your bank is worth. And the other one's what your future ex-wife's counsel says it's worth. If you could only get that in the market, it'd be great.
That's absolutely true. But part of that is the old thing of goodwill. And that's always a very gray area, if you will, in these cases. And that's what a forensic is helping you understand. And goodwill is a component of any business that is unique to that business. And it's unique to that spouse, if you're going to value it that way.
We're talking with Dan Gold of Treadway, Lumsdaine & Doyle, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and ask you to share a story or two and some tips, ideas, and precautions for our listeners. Dan, please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the show for age 50-plus business owners. We're interviewing over 250 professional advisors for their tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new 20-minute interviews and 1-minute highlights every day at ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Your life. A long journey which will require solutions to legal issues, both personal and business. The law is complex and always evolving. These critical moments require the deep experience and breadth we've established for more than 50 years. Treadway, Lumsdaine & Doyle, your trusted legal partner in life. Contact Dan Gold at 949-756-0684. That's 949-756-0684.
Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes at itunes.exitcoachradio.com. And I'm talking with Dan Gold from the law firm Treadway, Lumsdaine & Doyle. And before the break, we talked about the fact that business owners' lives can be turned upside down by a sudden divorce. And when you're an owner, it complicates a lot of things in your life. So Dan, what are some of the things, if a business owner says, This is not going to go well. I can see the handwriting on the wall. What are some of the homework that they should do before they come in and talk with you?
I think the main thing that I always try to emphasize in terms of gathering information is really, you know, the basic any gather documents and information, anywhere from tax returns, your estate plan. I mean, if you have a trust or will, that needs to be a part of the file that the attorney has. Profit and loss statements. Ledgers, general ledgers are always something, 9 times out of 10, that's something a forensic's going to want. Get that stuff together, general ledgers. There are other types of documents, deeds to properties, any appraisals that have been done, loan documents, even something like the equity membership to your country club. That's something that's an asset that may be subject to the family law court. That's certainly something that needs to be put together right away so that your attorney has that information, both internally as well as for disclosure purposes in the divorce case. The spouse of the other side has a right to know that information, and you can't assume, hey, they already know we've been married for 25 years. You can't assume that. You've got certain requirements that are that have to be met before the court will do anything in your case.
So what if a business owner is thinking, you know, I was in a normal course of business, I was going to get ready to spend a lot of money on some equipment or something that was going to really push my business forward, and now this has come up. Should they come in and see you first, and what would you tell them at that point?
I absolutely. You shouldn't do any sort of major financial transactions if you think there's going to be a divorce going on. It just creates a whole series of nightmares. If it's absolutely imperative that it has to be done, then talk to your spouse, or at least through the attorneys, talk to the spouse and get that consent. Get an understanding of why that has to be done, and an understanding of how it's going to be paid for, and what's going to happen to it in the business context.
Well, that brings up a question: what actually does happen to the business while everything's pending? Is everything on freeze or?
No, not at all. I think that's always a misstatement. The key component is make sure that you have either express or implied authority to move forward on everyday things. Generally, normal business transactions are not forbidden in divorce cases. You can do that. The challenge is, of course, making sure that major decisions, whether it's payroll situations, things like that, are always accounted for. So you can, as long as the spouse is in control and they provide disclosure to the other spouse of what's going on generally, do an accounting, there isn't really a problem.
Well, it might be difficult for people who have never had to ask their spouse for permission to do anything in their business before, but now they're in a position where the community property thing that the rules that you've been living under now become very, very real at that point.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's not like every single thing has to be questioned. It's a matter of disclosure and keeping it up front and allowing that spouse access to the information. Most of the time, more than half the time, you're not going to see any major problems. You're not going to see anyone saying, oh, God, don't do that. It's really about making sure that you're not trying to play games with it. Each case is different, though, Bill, and there's a general rule, but each case is subject to certain exceptions, certainly.
Now, what about mediation or this thing called collaborative law?
You know, collaborative law is a type of law where both parties have an attorney, but both attorneys sign on with the understanding if the case does not settle and a judge or court is required to decide certain things, those lawyers have to get out of the case. The theory behind collaborative law is that lawyers are incentivized to not settle a case in order to get more fees. So the thought is, well, let's make it so that they're incentivized to settle the case as opposed to going to court. I think the challenge with that is it makes it, I think court is an option that people have to look at. And in some cases, depending on who you're representing, has to be an available option. You can't assume a case is going to settle. And occasionally, some cases settle more when they know there's a threat of going to court than if they don't.
So there are options out there that people should probably explore. What are some tips, ideas, or precautions you would give to our listeners, Dan?
I think aside from the homework I spoke to earlier, the two other options are keep your options open. I see a lot of type A business owners come in with the notion that it's going to be my way or the highway. They come in with a one-sheet piece of paper with their list of this is how it's going to be divided. And the difficulty with that is it may not happen that way. And if you're locked into a certain idea, it's going to be very difficult to get that across, and you're going to wind up extremely dissatisfied. You're better off having an understanding that if you keep your options open, you're less likely to go to court, and you're less likely to have your business sold from out from under you. Okay. And the last option I would think is just a general rule of advice to people that's outside the law. You're not the only one who's been divorced before. A lot of people have gone through this process. It's not something that's going to define your legacy. It's not going to define your relationships with your kids. And it's not going to define the relationships with anyone else you're going to meet in the future.
Well, it can be very complicated, especially a family business. If you have kids working in the business and there's tensions and things like that, obviously when anytime a relationship splits up, it can be very traumatic for a lot of people. So if someone said, you know, I don't know where this is going to go, but I kind of feel like something might be happening. Should they give you a call, Dan, and talk to you about what the situation is to start getting prepared?
Absolutely. I mean, I've had people come to me and maybe not even make a decision or have anything happen for anywhere from 2 months to 2 years after they initially see me. Because things happen. I mean, life happens, and maybe because the child's sick or there's a death in the family or some other issue comes up, they aren't really ready to make that call. They aren't really ready to make that next step to end a relationship that, although painful in some ways, is even more painful from the fact there's uncertainty.
Well, I can tell you from experience that, Dan, you do a great job from the basically being able to talk somebody through what the options and what some strategies might be up front, just to be ready, calm everybody down, but be prepared for whatever might happen, and I really appreciate your help. And I appreciate you coming onto the show. Would you offer our listeners a consultation if they called in?
Absolutely. Anyone who mentions that they heard me with the Exit Coach will get a free 30-minute consultation. That's for people who actually listen to the show, as well as those who refer your friends and family.
Well, that's very nice of you. I appreciate that. And what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
They can either go to the website and link into our email. The website's www.tldlaw.com, or they can call me at area code 949-756-0684.
And again, you have offices in Irvine, Long Beach, Downey.
That's correct, Bill. And also we have an office in Beverly Hills as well.
Beverly Hills. So, Dan, thanks very much for coming in. I'd love to go into this topic a little deeper next time we have an interview. And in the meanwhile, we're going to call it a day, and we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. We upload new 1-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.